Happy Sunday, Tappers. It is January 21st, and it is the Daily Tap. I am kind of picking myself up after a little bit of a rough Sunday, or Saturday, I guess. We had a fun night. If you saw it on Snap or Instagram, SnowTapWI on both, we were having a good time. We were definitely getting down. Nomad had a little 90s party. Guy had on a Vancouver jersey. Never felt like a bigger idiot there, where he had a Vancouver Grizzly jersey on, and I thought, for sure you're wearing a Brian Big Country Reeves. I go, Big Country? He goes, what? And I'm like, no. Big Country Reeves. He goes, no. Okay. Sharif Abdul-Rahim? No. And he's like, Mike Bibby. I'm like, who the fuck wears a Mike Bibby jersey? Like, that just blew my mind, as well as just way too many beers. J-Mo Butter Shots were brought back. It was a fun night, except for the fact that we had maybe the worst tacos in Milwaukee. I'm not here to say that places are bad, but... yeah, I would not recommend a certain taco spot on 3rd Street because, let me tell you, the chips were stale. The tacos were, I think my ground beef was undercooked. It was just a mess. I didn't even order ground beef. And then the worst part about it, I had to go back after not, maybe not tipping the best because I just wasn't really that happy. And we can get into the whole, like, should you still give the normal tip? I myself am one of those people. If I have a bad experience, I'm not going to, not that it, it's like, well, it's not the waitress's fault. Well, she wasn't that much better. So, like, it was part of the whole experience. It all sucked. But I forgot my credit card there like a dumbass. So I had to go walk back and then do this walk of shame, essentially. It's just terrible. So whatever, it happens. Now we all know that 3rd Street is not the place to get tacos. But yeah, started the night off, and yeah, it was sheets from there. Unfortunately, we watched a Bucks basketball team that played well for three quarters and then fell apart in the fourth. Where have you heard that before? I feel like you could listen to Daily Tap all month, and that would be a theme. This team just does not seem to want to connect in the fourth quarter, and I can't figure out what's wrong with them. They're hanging with Philadelphia in the third quarter. They are absolutely hanging with them. It was a 6-point game at halftime. I think they were only down four, so they won the quarter, and then they scored 14 points. Again, they scored under 15 points in the fourth quarter. This is the third or fourth time this has happened this month. And something has to change. So I don't know if it is just the offense itself is collapsing and people are looking for their shots. If it's the lineups that Jason Kidd's putting out at the start of the fourth quarter, he needs to make adjustments here because it's clear that the Bucks are doing something wrong because they could have won this basketball game. Even without Giannis, they were right in it. And they were fighting hard. They had a really inspired third quarter. And that's the other frustrating thing. It's like, do they just lose energy because they fight in that third quarter and then it's just like the air gets dropped out? Because that happened in Golden State. This was almost like a carbon copy of Golden State, where the Bucks played well for that third quarter and you're like, wow, they have a shot, and then they fell apart in the fourth. And it just, you don't, trends with teams this late in the season, that's when it gets concerning, right? Like with the Brewers, sometimes you'd see runners in scoring position, or the Packers, it was the fact that they couldn't stop a number one receiver. It's like if you start seeing these trends on a regular basis, it's like, okay, here's the start of the fourth quarter. If it doesn't start out well, it's probably going to end badly for the Bucks. And it seems to be in these close games where the Bucks have to fight back. It's not necessarily the games where the Bucks have control. It's when the Bucks are trying to regain control, they can only do it for a certain time, and then it just kind of falls apart. So notables from the game, Chris Middleton having a triple-double. It's kind of clear to me that Chris Middleton is the kind of guy who really wants to be on a bad team and just be the guy, because he was the guy last night. He only made one three-pointer, but he had 23 points, 14 rebounds, 10 assists. He was only three turnovers, which was pretty impressive, and he definitely was there. Eric Bledsoe, rough night, 5 for 18 from the field. He had 14 points, and that wasn't good. Another bright spot, though, definitely would be Sterling Brown. Sterling Brown only shot the ball 9 times, but he made 4 threes. He looked like he belonged out there. And especially early on. Now, the Bucks, I don't think, did a good enough job, or he didn't do a good enough job of finding open looks in the second half, because I thought there were opportunities, and Brown just sort of had that burst early on and just kind of faded after that. he definitely looks like he belongs, though. And he definitely looks like a guy who could be a rotation player, if not more, for this team. And you have to wonder, is Sterling Brown one of the seven best players on the Milwaukee roster? That might be a little spicy, but it at least looks like they have something there with Brown. And he looks like a guy who should have been playing a lot longer. And we'll just save the vitriol for Jason Kidd for another time. I thought the Bucks did okay against Joel Embiid. I mean, he had 29-9, but he also turned the ball over five times. I thought they frustrated him enough. I didn't think that Embiid overpowered the Bucks in any way or something like that, which I think you expected. I thought Marshall Plumlee, actually, the guy who really made a difference in there was Marshall Plumlee, of all people. He played 9 minutes. He had 6.6 rebounds. He frustrated the hell out of Joel Embiid, and it seemed like he was the kind of the physical presence, and we'll see if he can do it, you know, if this is just a one-time flash in the pan. But if he can actually be a guy that can steal minutes from Thon Maker and sort of provide that defensive stalwart that they've been looking for off the bench, that would be a huge lift for the Bucks, especially against these physical centers like your Embiids, your Whitesides, Rudy Gobert's of the world. They don't play Rudy Gobert at the rest of the season, but you get my drift, right? These sort of bigger guys that the Bucks sometimes have trouble with, and Andre Drummond's another one. So if Marshall Plumlee's that dude, that's fine. I'm not okay. I'm okay with it. Now, did Marshall Plumlee look like the most white privileged asshole that I've ever seen? Absolutely. Like that whole, the gelled back hair, the sort of look. Like someone said he looked like every antagonist in an 80s movie. I forget who tweeted that out, but that was perfect. That is exactly who he looked like. He looked like a guy that just called everybody nerds, and that was his sort of shtick. So I do want to see more Marshall. I think we will get into the boomer drops of Marshall. That sucked. That was terrible. I'll do another boomer impression when I'm not hung. I'm going to blame that on the hangover. I have friends who tell me I make excuses because I'm hungover. That is a hangover excuse. I will put it right there. That was an awful boomer impression, and I will vow to do better at another time. So speaking of Duke, they probably the biggest second headline nationally was Zion Williamson, the number two recruit in high school basketball. He is sort of the Noel Devine or Sam McGuffey of this generation, if you guys know who those people are. And because he's just he's an Instagram star, because he does all these crazy dunks, Drake wore his jersey on an Instagram post. Like, the guy is unbelievable. He hadn't left the city, or he hadn't left the state of South Carolina for anything. Didn't leave for AAU. It seemed like he was probably going to go to South Carolina or Clemson. He goes to Duke. And yeah, so that sucks. Now Duke has the top three recruits in college basketball. That's never happened before. Cam Reddish, Zion Williamson, and RJ Barrett are all going to Duke next year. They're all going to be high-level draft picks in the following year. Duke is the new Kentucky, as people have called it. It's very true. And there's a couple fallout here. Number one, it's very interesting that Duke has sort of become this Kentucky that Coach K sort of is winning at all costs, if you will. He's okay with having a bunch of young guys. He's okay with the team kind of changing the perception of Duke and that sort of thing. And Duke's now become this sort of juggernaut, if you will. And then the other interesting part about it is the fact that Kentucky is no longer Duke. So that you're kind of like, what? Well, Kentucky was the one and done school. You think about all the guys who came out with Eric Bledsoe, Anthony Davis, Boogie Cousins. I mean, you name it, right? Those guys were all going to Kentucky. All those guys are now going to Duke. They're all. So what does this mean for John Calipari is a huge question. And part of me wonders, you know, Calipari always gets mentioned in NBA rumors. Always. It always happens. And everyone says every year, like, Calipari is okay where he is. He's fine. You have to wonder if this affects him, if he's wondering, because what I saw from like Matt Jones of Kentucky Sports Radio is like, he thought he had Williamson at one point. I think he also thought he had Barrett at one point. Like, Kentucky gets close, and yet Jeff Capel drops the bag. Shout out to the One Shining podcast. He drops the bag, and everything changes. So Jeff Capel is doing wonders for Coach K, and either Cal doesn't have that Jeff Capel on his staff and needs to get a Jeff Capel, or Cal needs to maybe think about, hey, should I coach LeBron? Should I coach one of my guy, one of my teams that, you know, look at Phoenix. They have Devin Booker. Would you sign Devin Booker and then bring on Boogie Cousins and have Cal coach the team? Doesn't sound bad, right? I have to think that is something to keep an eye on, guys, is the fact that would Calipari jump to the NBA because he keeps getting beat out on these recruits. And now Zion Williamson, the basketball player, is phenomenal. I mean, he's 6'6", 270. He's built like Julius Peppers is kind of the comparison that he's got. But he can dunk out of this world. It's like Charles Barkley with like major hops. So it'll be interesting to see how he does in college and then in the NBA, because he's undersized. So he doesn't necessarily, he's kind of like a shorter Zach Randolph in a way with more hops. Like he's a big body. I don't know how his game progresses to the NBA. I mean, that's a 2-year down the road conversation, but being 6'6" only and being that heavy, you just have to wonder. He does have the unreal hops, but how does that all translate? And speaking of guys who, how does that translate? I feel like the Trae Young narrative is going to be twisted in the next couple of weeks. Now Oklahoma plays Kansas on Tuesday. They're struggling right now. They lost again to Oklahoma State, where Trae Young had 48 points. But here's the but. He shot the ball 39 times. Whew, that is a lot. That is way too much for as talented as Oklahoma is as a team. Oklahoma has a lot of good players. Oklahoma could be a Final Four team, but it seems like Trae Young has kind of went to more of a hero ball sort of attitude recently. If you look at some of his shot selection, you look at some of the things he's taking, he's trying to force it, and Lon Kruger needs to bring him in, because I do think there's going to be a lot of discussion about him when he comes out, and he's probably a guy who's going to be a top 10 pick. About, well, is he too aggressive with the bat? You know, is he too shot happy? Is he too, you know, is that's going to be a real worry. And you're going to wonder, I think there's going to be a lot of narratives swarmed about Trae Young with this type of performance, because older fans, not necessarily the Generation Z, but like even my generation and a little bit above me, get so fed up with guys who are just me guys. Like that's just something that sticks in their craw. They don't like it. They see too much of it. They think that everybody's a ball hog these days. They blame the YouTube Instagram generation. It's a weird thing. So a guy like Trae Young is probably going to see some of that hate. And now if they end up beating Kansas at Oklahoma, which they definitely can do, but we'll see on Tuesday night, and Trae Young has an efficient game, the narrative will go back. But if it continues on the path it's going down, it's going to get really interesting. It is going to get really interesting to see what exactly people say about him and really start thinking about how you perceive Trae Young, and it's definitely something to chew on. I think I'm done. I think I'm gonna go try to make myself some hangover hash and get my day started. Finally, we'll be back tonight to recap all of the championship. We'll see how miserable I am at the Vikings. I can't have the Vikings win. I hope you know that. Like seeing them put the fucking purple and gold on the Rocky statue, the fucking skull chants. They suck so much. We cannot have it happen. It just can't happen. If you're listening to this after it, and it does, we'll just wallow in self-pity. If not, we'll sing Fly Eagles Fly and enjoy ourselves. So Tappers, you guys have a fantastic Sunday, and we will talk tomorrow. Peace.